Well, we are blessed to have another guest speaker with us today who's also flown a long, long way from Brownsville to be here with us today. Many of you have known Kevin and Sonia Rogers have been attending our church for quite a long time, and it's been a pleasure to know Kevin and Sonia. And just recently, we've been able to have the privilege of having Kevin's father, Garland, joining us here at our church, and his mother as well, Kevin's mother. And so we are blessed to have him here. Each Sunday when Garland has been here, he's come with a big smile and a firm handshake and lots of words of encouragement for me. So I, for one, am just really glad that they're here. I've been really blessed to have them here. And when I found out I was going to be taking this these two seminars up at Corbin University, I was looking for someone to share with us. And somebody suggested, how about Garland? And he was willing. So he just recently retired from pastoring, but we didn't want to let him get too bored. So I think he's going to share with us some of the places he's ministered, but one I know is somewhere around 25 years or so at Lebanon Assembly, if I understand correctly. So what a blessing to have Garland with us. So Garland, would you come and share God's word with us? Would you all welcome Garland Rogers with us this morning?
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
Bless you. Good morning. Now turn to someone beside you or around you and say, good morning. The only time I've ever given a kind of a history of where I've been was when I was trying out for a church. That is not the case today. I am finished with that except for things like this. It is so good to see some dear friends of ours. Liz and his husband there just are sweet people. When I was pastoring at Lebanon First Assembly, I must have been there with her for half a dozen times and as the chaplain of the day at opening the house. And by the way, all politicians need your prayers, especially in the day we live in. Amen? When they've taken God's word and completely threw it out the window, and given all kinds of other things, and that's all I'll say. My wife and I came to Oregon in 1964, when your pastor was just a child. Well, we got to have some humor here. And we started a church out in the country east of Gresham. Now, if you drew a line straight east from Gresham and straight north of Boring, that's where we were, a little community called Pleasant Home. We started with nobody, hardly. We had about two or three people, and God bless, and here we are today. Then we took the church in Independence, Oregon, but I was not independent. And then we were in Salem, and then God led us to a place called Junction City. And we were there for a number of years, and then went to St. John's in Portland. Then we found a home in Lebanon, and praise God, we got to settle down there. Now, let me explain a lot of those moves. The denomination we started out in, the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, they have the power to move you at their will. And every once in a while, they'd say, you know, why don't you go down here and pastor this church? I said, well, we're pastoring right here, and but that's another story. But we were in total time in pastoring in Lebanon was almost 30 years. And then I pastored Walmart for 2 years. And boy, do they need your prayers. And thank you, song leader, for that beautiful intro. I emailed Rosemary. Is it Rosemary? I have not met her yet. Rosemary, are you here? There she is. I almost thought you were fictitious for a while. They told me, and told her I was preaching on Jesus, my favorite subject. Love to preach about him. And just did a marvelous job putting all those together. And there is no other name but the name of Jesus that we ought to keep on the forefront of our brain, forefront of our heart, and our life, because He is what the whole thing is about. Now, when I say God, what comes to your mind? If you were in a class in some of these seminaries, I'm not the one you're going to, but those that can come out smoking a pipe and all kinds of other stuff you want to smoke and still be a reverend. That's not the way I'm talking about. But you might answer, which God do you mean? Do you realize that just in the land of India alone, they claim there are 320 million different gods that they have a name for? Then there's Allah. Then there's Buddha. Then there's Tao, and all in the sky god, and the sun god, and the moon god, and the god of war, and all those things, and the Celtic gods, and the Greek gods, and Roman gods, and the Egyptian gods. Literally, everything you see, feel, or hear of has been made a god somewhere in our crazy world. But how many are glad you know the one true and living God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Good. You're on the right. Very first word in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then He finished, and here we are, enjoying God's wonderful, beautiful, magnificent creation. Now, in the beginning was the Word, John 1:1 says, and the Word, and if you notice your Bible, those capital W's on Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, meaning Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Amen? So He was there with Him. In Him was and is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. How many are glad He shined in your life? I was a little Baptist kid in Oklahoma, way back there, in the 19th. Well, I don't want you to know how old I am. And the light of salvation shined on me during an evangelistic meeting. I didn't know what an evangelistic meeting was. I knew about collard greens. I knew about cotton, and I knew those things like. And all of a sudden, something moved and blessed my heart. God allowed me to take that same thing God did for me and transfer it to all kinds of people. Some you know and some you don't. For instance, how many here know the farmer out here, Brian Glaser? When I came to Lebanon, there was Ruth and Ernest, mom and dad, Brian, and two little sisters. Brian was 12 years old. And then Ruth's mom was there, and Ernest's mom and dad were there. And you get to touch lives and watch God move and watch God bless as the light of God begins to illumine their heart and life and influence the life that they are and the person they become. I suppose one of the most wonderful things in all that I've ever done was the privilege of seeing young people, children, grow up and become men and women of God as God shines His light on them. Someone said, well, do you have any disciples? If I do, they're going the wrong direction. But Jesus, through me, God, through me, raised up disciples. And God is still in the business of making disciples today. Is He not? It's so important that you and I lift up Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, and coming again. And may I take a moment here to say how much I appreciate your pastor tackling the book of Revelation. You say, well, it's in the Bible. It's supposed to be preached. Yes, it is. And I honor you guys as allowing him to do that. Because there are people, preachers, his age and younger, who won't even touch the book of Revelation. They think it's too controversial. And yet God's word says all scripture. You get the word all in there? All scripture is good for all those things it lists in the word of God. But I challenge you to honor your pastor with that and just every time he preaches on the Revelation, say amen, do it again, do it again. God wants us to help him remake this world we live in through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we're in the business of creating something through the power of God's Holy Spirit around us and in us and through us. First, we make the change. If you've made the change, nod your head at me or something. And then through God and the teaching of good pastors like this, we try our best by the Holy Spirit to influence lives, also to build Him in them. Remember, folks, there is no other name but the name of Jesus by which man, woman, boys, and girls can be saved. There's not five options on the card. There's one, and that's Jesus Christ. And see, every person that you meet that has another plan than that, they are going the wrong direction. Say, well, I just believe in the unity of all faiths and all... No, no, no. The Bible says there's no other name but the name of Jesus. Yes, you can love them. Yes, you can be good friends to them. But folks, when you don't go the way of Jesus, the one and true only way, they're going the wrong direction. Now, we believe in God. What does the word say? Eternally existent in three manifestations. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know that there are some who believe that that's all kind of hogwash and there's just one up there and that's Jesus. I've got news for you. The Bible says there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Stand up on that. I mean, don't stand up, just... And also, as Randy said last week, the people around Israel in Egypt and all the nations around them later in the Promised Land were not believers in one God, but they believed in plural gods. Now, folks, there's not a God sky. There's just a God in the sky. There's not a storm God, just a God who's there in the storm with you. We must get our focus properly. Jesus is the only one true and living way manifested through God. Now, what's your guidebook? The Bible says it, the Bible, is our only guidebook. It's amazing how much light the Bible sheds on books about the Bible. That's another story. In the first four books of the New Testament, God is introduced as a powerful God, as a God who's able to touch lives and move mountains, more or less, and move countries and move people's groups. And then in the first book of the New Testament, God the Father introduces His only Son. You see, I've heard that some folks say, well, I know several sons of God. Now, true, we are sons and daughters of God, right? But when you say the Son of God and the S and the G are both capitalized, there's only one, folks. And Jesus comes on the scene in the form of a little bitty baby to show us from God there's only one way from earth to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and believing in that marvelous story. Now, if you're so smart, I mean, your wife thinks you are, well, sometimes. Tell me how God, through Jesus, could all of a sudden take that magnificent form of who he was in heaven and compress him down in the form of a little tiny baby and be born of a virgin. That's one of the mysteries of life that you and I will never know until we get to heaven. I love to read these stories about folks that have died and gone to heaven and then came back. One was a minister. And in writing afterwards, when he came back to, you know, earth, he said the most marvelous thing was when he walked through or was entering the whole thing called heaven. All of a sudden, he said, I realized that's what that verse meant. That's what that verse meant. In other words, when you and I reach heaven, we'll understand far, far more than we ever could understand here on this earth. Because the Bible says, how do we see here? We see through a glass darkly. That's why there's all kinds of denominations, because everybody's looking through a dark part of the glass somewhere. Amen? Some think the glass is half full, some think it's not full at all. But the only thing is, you must realize, God manifested himself in the Old Testament. And then Jesus was introduced to us in the New Testament in the first four of the Gospels. Now, then, in the book of Acts, Father God introduces to us our helper, even today, God the Holy Spirit. But listen close to me. Jesus was still there. As I read to you, nothing that was made without Jesus. In other words, when God spoke the world into existence, Jesus was right there. Listen close. Here he is. Jesus is concealed in every book of the Old Testament. Now hang on. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's our sacrificial lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. And somebody say amen to that. In Deuteronomy, he's the great prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's hosts. In Judges, he is the highest and best of all judges. Boy, can we use him on the Supreme Court. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he is our anointed one who delivers God's people. In 2 Samuel, he's our eternal King of glory. In 1 and 2 Kings, he is the glory of God filling the temple of God. In Ezra, he is the Lord of our fathers. In Job, he's the Redeemer who is to come. In Esther, he is our interceder for his people. In Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In Psalms is the most beautiful book you ever read. If you are not in love with the Psalms, shame on you. The pastor should... No, never mind. In Jeremiah, he is the one who's acquainted with sorrows. Why? Because he paid the price for us that brought him sorrows. In Joel, he's the hope for all the people. In Amos, he's the judge of all the nations. In Obadiah, he's the eternal ruler of the kingdom to come. How many look forward to that one? Oh, yes. We're going to live in Jerusalem for a while, and wow. In Jonah, he's the one raised from the dead, coming back to preach repentance. In Obadiah, he's the... I skipped backwards. In Zephaniah, he's the king over all Israel. In Zechariah, he's the prophet who comes riding on the colt of a donkey. Any farmers here? You don't dare climb on the back of any kind of mule, horse, all those things that's not broke unless you've got something wrong. Well, anyway, you know. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness, our Messiah. What about right now? He is there with the Father, seated at the Father's right hand, ever present to make intercession for you and I. Can you just kind of picture it? You know, Satan coming at you and all kinds of tricks and all kind of junk going on in your life, and you're just saying, Lord. And at the same time, there's Jesus sitting beside the Father. Hey, Father, I know that Oki. I know who he is. He has made mistakes, but he loves you and he loves me and he loves all about us, the precious Word of God. You say, well, I don't think. Yes, it does. The Bible says he's there presently to make intercession for us. And that's key. Now, Jesus came and fulfilled all kinds of dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning himself. The most important fact in Scripture you read today is here in this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be an equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, or because of all those things I just read to you, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, of those on the earth, that's the humans that's left, of those under the earth, that's the demons and the devil, and those in heaven. That's an adding I put in. That's all the angels. Do you understand that one day at God's timing, everything that's alive or has been dead and come back to life or brought back to life is going to bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? I want to be there. I want to be on the good side, don't you? Amen. Christ came to us on earth, the humans, preached to us righteousness, then submitted his body, because in the natural, he didn't have to. As the song says, he could have called 10,000 angels and said, spare me from this. Take me off this cross. But he didn't. He submitted to the death on the cross that you and I might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's key. There on Golgotha's hill, in or near Jerusalem, he did not die for his sins. He died for the sins of Garland Rogers and all of us here. He who knew no sin took on himself the sins of all the nations. Anybody here who hasn't sinned? Just checking. I've pastored some folks that thought they were perfect and thought they had angels. We know. Never mind. We all have sinned, the Bible said, and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus died to bring us out of that pit of sin and place us in the heavenlies with God. Praise God. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, Let me clear this up, just in case somebody's wondering. Jesus never, ever sinned. The Bible said right there, he who knew no sin. became sin for us. But he didn't sin, and he had no sin that was his own. He died for our sins. How many are glad he did? Praise God. We have an advocate with the Father. Remember, at this very moment, he's at the right hand making intercession for you and I. And a while ago, as we sang about his name, the name of Jesus, that pleased him to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because when we exalt him, we just begin to make up for all the ones who curse him. That's a whole other story, isn't it? Now, don't forget the promise that Jesus, the one way, left he and the angels before he left planet Earth. John 14, 1 through 4, he continues to tell us, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't get upset. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus. In my Father's house. Where's the Father's house? Somebody tell me out loud. Heaven. Yeah. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. It doesn't matter. If God made it, I want it. Don't you? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You see, every missionary has quoted that verse to people that did not know about Jesus, didn't know about God. But God, once they give their heart and life to Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior, Jesus is starting right then and there to prepare a place for them. You see, I won't get Pastor's mansion. He won't get mine. I won't get yours. I'll get the one he made for Garland Rogers when he fulfilled that verse. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Anywhere Jesus is will feel like home to a Christian. Here, we raise our hands, those that do. We clap our hands as those that do. And sing with our voice the song about Jesus. Then we'll see him face to face. The Bible says so. And we'll get to express our praise and glory one-on-one or one amongst many. Who knows? It'll be wonderful. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. With all my heart, I believe Jesus coming is nearer than the average person here believes he's coming is soon. I love to listen to preachers that talk about Christ's coming. One of them was on Christian TV, in the last year or so, as a guest on another program. And they said, would you look in the camera and tell the people watching this program how near you think Christ's coming is? Now remember, no man, I don't care who they are, how spiritual they are, no man knows the day nor the hour when our Lord will come again. Right? But you can sense it in your spirit. And this man of God, whom I've read after and looked, watched on TV for years, he said, I believe strongly that the coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus to take his children home, take his bride out of this world, is nearer than anyone watching this program believes that it is. That's why I'm glad pastors like this have the courage to take on Revelation and say, here's what I believe about Revelation. I believe we're close to Christ's coming in the rapture of the church. And I do too. Now, listen to the angels. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things, Jesus, while they watched, he was taken up. Now, I've seen a lot of people, but I've never seen one jump high enough to keep on going up. Right? And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, can you almost imagine this? Well, I still see him. I still see him. No, you don't, dummy. Well, I think I do. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men who weren't men at all stood beside them in a white garment, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," mark that down in your mind, "this same Jesus," not a copy, not a phony, "this same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come in like manner as you saw him go away." In other words, one of these days. I don't know when. You might be out plowing the field. You might be pulling lumber on a line. All of a sudden, something quickens inside your being. And you look up. I see Jesus. He's getting closer and closer and closer to the earth. And all of a sudden you realize gravity is loosing its hold on your mortal body. And you and I rise to meet the Lord in the air. Now, if somebody besides God wrote that, I'd say, what a story. But if Jesus and God said it, I believe it. Did you hear me? If Jesus or God said it, I believe it. Because he's not a man, the Bible says, that he should lie. Jesus, who's the one way to heaven, is coming again, just like the angels said. Now listen to our concluding scripture. That's the time you ladies can start putting your shoes back on. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Finally, Paul is saying this now. He's about to leave the world as we know it. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I don't know how much you believe in crowns, but the Bible's full of crowns. Not on this earth, in the one to come. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only. Now listen to this next line. But also to all who have loved, now I'm going to amplify it now, yearned for, looked for Christ's coming back to earth. To take his bride from this world to a place called heaven, where we will celebrate like a celebration you never saw on this earth, as he and his bride become one. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I want as many to go with me as I possibly can take. I've had the privilege with Liz Van Leeuwen to talk to the State House, I don't know, 5 or 6 times as the chaplain of the day. I'd look out there and they were reading the morning paper, filing through a bunch of papers, and you wondered if they even cared that I was up there. But at least that was still a tradition, and I'm glad they still have it, I guess, today. But see, you keep on telling people about Jesus. You keep on telling them about the Father. You keep on telling them, hoping and praying that some word seed that you planted will take root in their heart and begin to grow. Two things I want to leave with you as I close this. Yes, I close the book. Keep looking up. Don't become so engrossed in life and business and farming, whatever, that you lose sight of Him and His return. That's key. But then every person you meet may be someone who needs a smile, a hello, or a scripture. You never know. To lead them to make that decision to go up with you to see Jesus. You see, the highest job we can have on this earth is that of being a blood-washed believer in Jesus and God, and be able with a smile or a hello or a kindness to have a seed planted. You guys know about seed. This is farming area. That grows and grows and grows until one day we're all called home. They get called up too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of sharing this day. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Beach, who is doing his best to lead this church, and you have your touch upon him. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. But God, help us to be concerned about those we don't know if they're right with you or not. And I know we can't always know that, but God, we can plant a seed, a smile, a kindness, or a kind favor. Father, today, bless us, the church here at First Baptist, as we keep shining Jesus on the light and the darkness around us. Father, we ask your blessing this day upon our pastor, upon everyone here. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Pastor.